Tonight's shiur for the week of Parshas Va'era. We begin with a shaila. It was a person who was running a tzedakah organization, and he decided that to raise money, he was going to have a lottery, however, not for money, but rather for a car. Couldn't afford a new car, but decided he was going to shop around for some second-hand car and raffle it off. So he spoke to some used car salesman. Perhaps that was his first mistake. But he found that this fellow was selling a Mercedes-Benz, and he was convincing this person, the head of the organization, we'll call him Reuven, was trying to convince Reuven to purchase this car, and he was going to give him a good deal. He said the book price is 100,000 shekels, and he said, since it's for the organization, I'll sell it to you at a discount for only 90,000 shekels instead of 100,000. So, looked good, you know, a good deal. And the salesman said, and you know what, you don't even have to give it in to check to see if the car is good, because I already did that, here are the papers. Fine, so Reuven was accepted it. He was a simple person and didn't get involved too much, and he was getting a good deal, and he bought the car for $90,000. So then it was a raffled off. However, little did Reuven know that the papers this used car salesman showed him were forged. The car did not go through a proper test. And in fact, the history of the car was that it was in a very serious accident, and it affected the chassis, and therefore it was not worth 100,000 shekels. It was only worth 70,000, because it's after the accident. Anyways, Reuven had no idea. He took the salesman's word for it that it was, you know, really worth 100,000. So, he put up an advertisement that he's selling tickets, raffle tickets for this car, a 100,000 shekel Mercedes Benz. Okay, so day of the raffle came, and Shimon won the raffle. It was a raffle that each ticket was 100 shekels. Quite expensive, and Shimon won. So he was handed the keys to his brand new used car, Mercedes, which he took first spin he took in the car. He took it to a place where they test cars to make sure everything is okay. Well, they ran tests on the car, and they told him, your car is not okay. And they saw right away that there's problems with it was in an accident and affected the chassis, and they told him that this car is worth 70,000. Ah, said Shimon, 70,000? Huh, the raffle people said they were raffling off this car worth 100,000, not 70,000. So he went to Reuven, and he says, excuse me, Reuven, I won the car, and I was expecting to win this 100,000 shekel Mercedes, but I gave it in to be tested, and here are the papers, the real papers, and it's not worth it. It's only worth 70. So Reuven tried to go back to the used car salesman, but he was nowhere to be found, understandably. So now Shimon said, okay, so listen, you have to give me another 30,000 shekels, because I was supposed to win a car of 100,000, it was only 70, you owe me 30,000. Well, Reuven wasn't so happy about that. He claimed, he said, listen, Shimon, what do you want? You want to say there was we call them mechach taos, a mistaken deal? Okay, so what do you do in a case of mistaken deal? You have to return the item. So he says, no problem. He says, you give me back the car, and I'll give you back the 100 shekels you paid for the ticket, and that's it. So you want to call Mechachto? So fine, give me back the car, I'll give you back the 100 shekels. So Shimon said, no. It's okay, I want to keep the car, but I'm just claiming that, what's fair is fair. You offered a car for 100,000, and it was only worth 70, so I deserved the difference. So the Shaila is, who is right, Reuven or Shimon? The answer that was given was that Reuven does not have to give the difference of 30,000 to Shimon. Well, why? He says, because when one buys a raffle ticket over here, he doesn't, it's not makbid, oh, only for 100,000, but not if it's 70,000 or 80,000. Buy a ticket, okay, you'd like to win the car, but you're not so makbid on exactly the price. You're not paying for the car, you're just paying for a raffle ticket. So the car is more expensive, less expensive. It's not going to make such a big difference, for when you're buying the ticket. And also, when you're buying, you know that the money is going to tzedakah for charity. And therefore, really, whatever happens, you understand it. Even if you don't win, you're happy that, you gave money to charity. So too over here. Okay, you didn't. Your car was not exactly what you thought. It's much expensive. Well, I saw you gave money to tzedakah. So yeah, normally a person will be happy with whatever he gets, and therefore Shimon should be happy with what he received, the car that he won, and he could not claim the extra 30,000 shekels. That was the psak that was given. Moving right along. Speaking of cars, we have the following shaila. It was a fellow, coincidentally, his name was also Reuven, and he was involved with renovations. That was his profession. He had a renovations company. People call him in, fix their house, about their homes, or whatever. So one day, Reuven came home from work with his big car, truck, whatever. And then he realized that the next day he had a big job ahead of him. So he said, before I retire tonight, let me load up the car for tomorrow's day's work. So to put in the tools, etc., whatever he needed. And then he had this big industrial ladder, big heavy ladder, which he needed also for the next day's job. So he put it on the roof of the car. It was where he put it when he would travel. However, he was getting very tired, and he decided, I don't have the koach to start tying it down, to the roof right now. In the morning, before I go, I'll tie it down. Okay, so he just put it on top of the roof without, tying it down. Just left it there with the idea that tomorrow morning he's going to take care of the rest. Fine. Then he went to sleep. All of a sudden, he gets a knock on the door at about midnight. So he says, wonders, who could that be? So he's woken up by the knocks. He opens the door, and he sees his neighbor, Shimon. Shimon says, Reuven, quick. He says, my wife, she's having labor pains. Can I please borrow your car? I have to take her to the hospital. So Reuven says, he's half asleep, he just got up. He says, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll be happy to lend you my car. And he gives him the keys. And so Shimon grabs the keys. Thank you very much, Reuven. And he runs to the car and puts his wife in. They start making their way towards the hospital. However, as you can imagine what happened, Shimon did not realize that the ladder was on the roof was not tied down, which is not a good thing. And sure enough, when he came to the first stoplight and he put on the brakes, the ladder flew forward and smashed right into the car in front of him. Luckily, Baruch Hashem, there were no casualties, physical casualties, but the car in front of him was in very, very bad condition. So, of course, the driver of the car wants to be paid for the damages. It's coming to him. So the question arose, who is responsible to pay for the damaged car? Is it Shimon, who was driving the car with the ladder on it? Or perhaps it's Reuven, the owner of the car, because he gave the car to Shimon without tying down the ladder. Or maybe that's Shimon's problem. He should have been careful and tied down the ladder. These are all the different various possibilities. So the question is, who is chayav, Reuven or Shimon, to pay for the damages of the car? So we'll start with Reuven, the owner of the car. So, as far as he's concerned, he is not responsible to pay. First of all, it's just a grama. He wasn't driving the car. He was, because of him, it was caused, because he didn't tie down the ladder, and then when his friend took it. But it's an indirect damage. It's called a grama. And even though gramas are still chayav b'dinei shamayim, but here, it's even less of a regular grama. Why? Because first of all, he was tired, and he gave him the keys, you know, when he was half asleep, and also he gave it to somebody who's responsible and who could have and perhaps should have checked to see if everything was okay, if the ladder was intact, etc. And therefore, for all those reasons, Reuven does not have to pay. Fine. Now let's move on to Shimon. So does Shimon have to pay? Well, that actually depends on what was Shimon's state when he asked for the keys. Meaning, if his wife was in labor, but in control, it wasn't emergency, he had to rush, so he had his faculties with him, he wasn't going crazy, you know, Shimon. If that was the case, then in fact, he should be responsible. Because, you know, he's boring a car, make sure everything's okay, the ladder's tied down, whatever, he didn't check, and he could have and should have, and therefore, in fact, Shimon would have to pay for the damages. However, if Shimon was in a panic, if his wife was going to give birth any minute now, and he had to quickly get to the hospital, or she was hemorrhaging, or something like that, where he was panic-stricken, so then he wouldn't have to pay. Because that's called what we call an onus, that he had no time and he had no presence of mind and couldn't have been expected that presence of mind to start checking for the ladders and this and that, whatever. He wasn't thinking, he was quick, and the only thing he could think about was get to the hospital as soon as he could. So therefore, he would be considered an onus and not responsible in such a situation. He brings here a shtickle raya to this idea that how a person is when he's, you know, panic stricken, he does things that he can't control. It's mamash onus. Where do we see that? We see it from last week's sedra, Parsha Shmos, from the Netziv in Hemek Davar on the pasuk v'yashlichehu arza v'hilan nachash v'yanas Moshe mipanav. It says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to throw down his staff. And he did so, and it turned into a serpent, a nachash. So what happened? The pasuk says it turned into a snake. Yanas Moshe Mevanosher, Moshe ran away. He ran away from the snake. So the Netziv asks, he says, "Who pele mi Adonai Moshe?" He says, "It's a pele, it's a wonder. What was Moshe doing running away from the snake? Leichanas, where was he running to? I mean, this is God over here. God made us in his name. Do you think he can run away from God?" And also, and here he's speaking to God, and he runs away from God. I mean, it's like speaking to God. What are you doing running away? Hi, a snake. Well, say, a snake. Hashem made it into a snake. What are you worried about? So it says in the sea, Valval Bemes, Hayash, Alobi Yishuvadas. It's true. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have thought through the situation, he would have said, "Well, no reason for me to run away. It's a snake that Hashem made, and Benes, and this," and he shouldn't. But he says, "Basher Yid Pahel Pitom Mimarena." But he's a human being. A human being sees a snake. What's your first reaction? Ah, he ran away. You can't think straight. When you see a snake, your first reaction is run. But mainly, even Moshe Rabbeinu, speaking to God, and he told him to throw down the snake. When he sees a snake, second nature is, you just run. You can't think straight. Mainly, we see this, that a person's in panic-stricken. You can't expect him to have, as we say, call it, Yishuv Hadas. So, it's interesting. According to this way we're explaining it now, that if Shimon, we said, was, you know, all excited to quickly get to the hospital, he's not responsible. Well, what does that mean? That means Reuven's not responsible, because it was a grama, And Shimon's not responsible because, you know, he was uptight. So who's going to pay for the car? The answer is nobody. Reuven's potter, Shimon's potter. Well, the guy's going to lose out. He's going to lose all the money out from his wrecked car. Yeah, sometimes that happens. And you have to say that the Meis Hashem, I says, it's from Hashem. It was meant to be. Hashem wanted him to lose his money and through, you know, losing his car. That's what Hashem wanted. That's what happens. And people lose money this way, they're that way. It was meant to be that he should lose his money for whatever reason. And that's how we have to look at it. Hashkafakur. However, in conclusion, this question was asked to Rav Nissim Karela Shlita as well. And Rav Karela, he disagreed, and he said that even if Shimon was not in a crazy rush, even if he was not going crazy, then he still would not be responsible. Why? He said because when he received the keys from Reuven said, here, take the keys. So he wasn't warned, right? Reuven said, here are the keys, but you should realize that the ladder is not tied. He didn't tell him. So when a person receives keys to a car, it's considered as if everything's good to go. Otherwise, he would have either, not given the keys, or he would have told him something. So as far as Shimon goes, he had no responsibility to check the ladder because Reuven didn't tell him anything was wrong. He didn't tell him something was wrong. The ladder was going to not tie down. You know, just like somebody, you want to borrow a car and somebody gives you the keys. You don't have to start checking the tires and taking it into to the mechanic to see everything's working. Or you assume, man, he's giving you the keys, but probably everything's okay. So do here, giving the keys. It's like saying everything's okay, go ahead, drive it. And therefore, Shimon, in any case, should not be responsible, according to the Psach of Rav Nissim Karelitz. Next, we have a interesting little remez. This is actually from going back to Parshas Vayetze. It says in the pasuk Vayachalom that Yaakov Inu had a dream, famous dream. Bnei Sulam Mutzav Arza V'Roshom Magi Hashemayma. That the ladder was sitting on the ground, and the top, the head, was reaching the heavens. And the angels of God were going up and down. Okay. The Ben Ish Chai, Sefer Od Yosef Chai, writes in the name of his father the following remez. He says, the word sulam, b'nei sulam utzavarza, sulam in gematria is 136, and Mammon, money, in gematria, is also 136. So based on that sulam and money are the same gematria, so therefore they're interchangeable. One could therefore read the pasuk as following, obviously, their remez, that hine sulam mutzavartza. Sulam, again, is money. So what happens? That sometimes people feel that their money is mutzavartza, meaning that it's coming to him, it's here, down, on the ground, it's in my hands, I'm in control, and I deserve this money, I worked hard for the money, and it's mine, right? That's the money that's mutzavartza, it's set on the ground, it's mine. However, a person has to realize that that's not the case. Rather, Roshom Magia HaShemayma, as the pasuk continues, that it's all from Shemayim. The money you have, it's not your doing. It's not on the Arza. It all comes from Shemayim. It's what Hashem wants. And therefore, V'nei Malach Elokim Olim V'yordim Bo. So the Shefa, the money, it all comes from Shemayim, sent through the angels, some coming up, some coming down, meaning sometimes you have more money, sometimes you're giving less money. Money's taken away from you, given to you. That's done through Hashem's agents, through His Malachim, the Malachim Olim V'yordim Bo. That's the vort of the father of the Ben Ish Chai. However, the Ben Ish Chai himself added it to his father's vort, and he would like to explain why is money compared to a sulam, right? Sulam is same gematria as money. Well, what's the connection between a ladder and money? So explains it the following. He says, imagine if a person sets up a ladder against the wall of a house, and if the top rung could speak or think, it would probably say, "Ah, look at me. Look at me. I'm on top of the world. Literally, here I am, the top rung of this ladder. There's all these rungs, but I'm on top. I'm the best." And he's bragging. He's feeling good about himself. Ah. Until somebody comes along, grabs a ladder, and wants to put it somewhere else. But he just grabs it, and when he's putting it somewhere else, he happens to put it in the other direction. It makes no difference. A plain ladder, which side's up. And he flipped it around, and the other side he put up. All of a sudden, that top rung, which used to be the top rung, now he's on the bottom. He's the bottom rung. So all of a sudden, he realized that, you see, I had no reason to brag. Here in a second, I'm going from being the top rung to the bottom. And the bottom rung, that was the bottom rung before, now he's on the top. He's not so proud. He realizes that just a minute ago he was on the bottom. It all depends on what the whims of this person decided to put the ladder up. Before he's down, now he's up. Next thing you know, he can be himself down. So that is money as well. Same thing when it comes to money. That a person has to realize that money is here today, gone tomorrow. It's like they say that it's called a zuz in the Gemara. Money is called a zuz. Why? Because they zazaz, moves from here to there. It's here to there, and then it goes from here to here. So too, today a person can be on top of the world, rich man. That's today. Tomorrow, in one second, everything can flip around, and he can be on the bottom. Because that's the way it is with money. When it comes to money, up today, down tomorrow. And therefore, money is compared to the rungs of the ladder. That's the addition of the Ben Ish Chai to his father's vor. Next, we have a Shaila. There was once a fellow that was selling Judaica. And he turned to a wealthy man and he offered him, he says, "I have a very special item here. It's a table, or perhaps call it a desk, that was used from a gadol in the earlier generations, a very big chashev, gadol, Talmud Chacham. And this was his table that he used to sit by and write his Divrei Torah, his Chidushim on. Judaica, right? Something worth a lot of money." So the wealthy man heard about it, and he was very excited. He says, "Oh, I'd like to purchase it." And he paid a tremendous sum of money for this desk. Okay. However, a little while later, he came to the realization, this wealthy man, that he was somewhat taken for a ride. Why? Because this Judaica salesman, he didn't realize, he didn't tell him, but he only sold him half of the desk. The other half of the desk, he sold to somebody else. So here he thought he was buying the whole desk, he only bought half of it. Now, the wealthy man said to the salesman, "Listen," he says, "you know, the fact that I only got half the desk, that doesn't bother me so much. Okay, so I have half of the desk. That's not the issue here." He says, "You know what the real issue is that bothers me, and because of that I want to cancel the deal, I want my money back, is because the side of the desk that you sold me, that's not the side that the Gadol was writing his Divrei Torah on. He wrote it on the other side." Exactly. I don't know how they figured it. I guess maybe they saw, ink spilt or whatever on one of the stains, on one side of the desk. Anyways, they knew that one side of the desk was used to write his Chidushim on, the other side not. And this wealthy man, he had bought the side that the Gadol was not, didn't usually sit there on there to write his Chidushim. So that was his taina. And he says, "Therefore, I want my money back because you sold me the part of the desk that's not the half I wanted. I don't mind having half, but I want the half that he wrote his Chidushim on at least." So the salesman said, desk is a desk. This side desk, that side of the desk. Well, what's the difference? He sat at this desk in Rosh Chodeshim. Well, what's the difference? Ah, so the question is there a difference? And according to who is the din side with? So, to answer this, we'll move on to an entirely different area of halacha, and that's Hilchas Tefillin. What's the connection? Shaila is the following. Let's say somebody, he has his shel yad, you know, his the tefillin he puts on his arm, which is made up of the actual tefillin box, and of course the straps that attach to the box and go down his arm to his hand. Now, the straps, you know, that's, as we said, go around his arm, that strap broke off by the box, by the tefillin box. It snapped off. And he wants to glue it together, tie it together, whatever, reattach it. However, for whatever reason, the person wants to switch it around. In other words, the end of the strap that was towards his hand, and he would wrap it around his hand, he wants that part of the strap to go up by the box, and the part of the box that was up by the box, he wants that now to be going around his hand. Again, why? I don't know, but that's what he wants. The question is one allowed to do that? Well, what's the shaila? On the one hand, what's the difference? On the other hand, there perhaps is a difference, because the box is the holy part of the tefillin. And therefore, the straps, that as they get closer towards the box, they have more, perhaps, kedusha, because they're closer to the box of the tefillin where the kedusha is. And therefore, if you're going to put that part of the strap down by his hand, that's perhaps a harada b'kedusha. It's bringing down the level of kedusha of that part of the strap, and therefore maybe you would not be allowed to do so. That was the shaila. So, Eliyarabba brought in the name of his grandfather that he wanted to bring a raya. We mentioned before, Parshas Vayetze, also from Parshas Vayetze. Famous Rashi, on the pasuk Ve'ikach me'avnei ha'makom ve'yasem merashosav, that Yaakov Avinu took of the rocks and put it on his under his head. So Rashi says, Asan kamin marzev saviv l'rosho, that he took the rocks and he put it around his head like a gutter. She'aya yorei mimnei chayot ra'ot, because he was afraid of animals, so it was a protection for his head. But then the stones started arguing with each other. This stone said, hey, I want the tzaddik to put his head on me. But the other stone said, no, I want the tzaddik to put his head on me. So what did Hashem do? He didn't want there to be this machlokes, so he made all the stones into one big stone, as it says in Pasuk Yud Ches over there. So the avanim turned into one even. Okay, Adkan Rashi. So the question is asked, what did Hashem accomplish by making all these stones, fusing them together into one big stone? This, you haven't solved the problem. Why? Because Yaakov's head is only so big. So wherever he's going to put his head, still the other part of the rock is going to say, hey, I want him to put his head over here, not over here. And then this part of the rock says, I want him over here and here. And you haven't solved anything. Just by putting all the rocks together into one big rock, what did you accomplish? So says the Eliyarabba's grandfather, we see from here a yesod, and that is that when is there a difference between where the rocks were there for arguing, when the rocks are all separate entities, then he can say, I want Punami, I want me. But once they're all one entity, one big rock, so then there doesn't matter where he puts his head, because it's all big one rock. So what's the difference? It's all one rock. The Ger Rebbe, to say a cute word on this, the Imre Emes, he said, what do we see from here? He says, we see from here that when is there machlekes and jealousy? Oh, I want the tzaddik put me here on my head. When is that? That's when everybody's separate, when there is perut. But when there's achdus, so then it doesn't matter. There's no arguments anymore. once it's one rock, okay, maybe this side of rock, that, but there's no arguments. Why? Because once they're all fused together, once there's Achdus and Klai Yisrael, there's no more jealousy. Who cares what he puts his head here, but we're all one, we're all one entity. Mela, so too over here, once there's one big rock, then it doesn't matter anymore where he puts his head or puts it up, it's one thing. Ah, so with that, he wanted to answer the Shiloh with the tefillin. And therefore, it doesn't matter which end of the strap you put by the box or why, because it's all one strap. So what's the difference? The part goes here, but it's all considered one entity. And never doesn't matter in which direction the strap is. That being the case, now let's go back to our Shiloh. If so, in the case of the desk, it's one entity, the desk, one piece of wood. Mele, it shouldn't matter where the tzaddik was writing. On this side of the desk, that side of the desk, it's all one desk. Therefore, the wealthy man who bought the desk, half the desk, according to what we're saying now, does not have a claim. However, it's not so simple. Why? Because the Eliyahu Rabbi himself seems to disagree. Because we find another din which is not like this. Where? When it comes to a talis. So you know, a talis gadol that we wear for davening, most talisim have on one side, it's like we call them the atara. Some have a nice fancy atara with silver, others just have a piece of material, but almost all talisim have some type of siman that this is the part that goes on your head. So they explain why do you have, what's the difference, but that part of that, is because if you put the first time, let's say, you put the talus on, and then that part, the way you put it on this time, that the certain part of the talus is on your head. We want to keep it that way. Because if we're going to next time take the talus and flip it around, and that part's going to be behind you, and not on your head, it's considered a lowering of Kedusha, because your head is more chashav than the lower parts of your body. And Mele, if we would turn the talus around, it would be a harada in Kedusha. Therefore, that's why we always want to make sure that we use the same part as being on top of on one's head, so we don't bring it down to a lower part. But what do we see? But what's the difference? It's all one talus. So what's the difference? This part, that, but it's all one talus. So we see from here that even if it's one entity, it still makes a difference which is the top and which is the bottom, and which is the holier part and which is the less, so even if it's one thing. And therefore, so too with the tefillin. And that's in fact how most poskim hold, that you cannot in fact switch the strap of your tefillin around from the, you know, from the part that was by the tefillin, put it towards your head. Because even though it's one thing, we see from the talus that there's still an inyan to keep it the way it is and not to switch it around and put it to a place which of less kedusha. You'll ask, but we brought a raya from the rocks of Yaakov Avinu. So he says, first of all, you can't bring a raya from a nace. Because when Hashem fused the rocks, you can say he didn't stick the rocks together with crazy glue, and they're still like all next to each other, just attached, you know. And then the question is, again, where is he putting it? Because since Hashem fused it into one big stone, there's no, all the original stones, there's no, each lost its place. It's all one homogeneous entity over here. And mainly, there's no such thing as this part of the rock, that part of the rock anymore. It's all Hashem Benes made it into one homogeneous rock. And he says, Michlal, you can't bring a raya to halacha from a midrash, which is not dealing with halacha. We're just dealing about agada. So that's as far as that goes. Mele, if so, then it's one entity, even with one entity, there's a problem of switching it around. So now back to our case with the desk. It would be a problem, and what the rich man is saying is correct, that even by one table, he didn't write on this side of the table, he wrote on the other side, and it makes a difference, even with one article, and therefore the rich man's tine is a tine. However, in conclusion, this is now the conclusion, when the Shiloh was brought to Rav Zilberstein, he says that, no, the rich man has no taina, because unlike the straps of the tefillin and the talis, there it really is clear. There's this part of the straps and that part of the strap, and this is in mamish. This is the holier part. It's next to the tefillin. This is less. It's the boundaries are very clear. This is part is holier. This part is less holy. But when it comes to the table, the table though is really a table. It's say that this part of the table is more kedusha was writing that a table. In fact, he says if you take away the legs on one side of the table, the other side of the table is gonna fall also. You can't you need all the whole table. You need it's all that's a different story. Tables, he says, is one entity, and therefore he claims that the wealthy man who bought half the table has to be happy with his half a table. He can't claim a mechachtos, because when it comes to tables, tables are tables. We should be zoiche that Hashem should turn the tables around, and we should be victorious over our soinim, and we should also be zoiche to see the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehirah v'yameinu.